Thanks, Kobe. And we'll tell the gate to open, so that won't be a problem, and I'll hide outside and imagine you as invisible. Or M could tell every lock in the prison to unlock, Carter suggests. That'll make our lives easier once we're inside. And risk some actual criminals escaping? Calla says. Probably not a good idea. Kobe leans forward and asks, Do we know where the detector enchantment is housed? It'll be in the control room, here. Chase points to another part of the plan. Once that's disabled, Calla continues, we can all get inside. And the surveillance bugs that will no doubt be flitting around? Elizabeth asks. Both inside and outside. They'll see through whatever illusion you're projecting. Kobe might not even make it inside if someone sees him on an orb. Tropical storm, Chase says. It's going to rain so heavily outside the Noxum facility that no one will be able to see a thing. Elizabeth nods. That works for outside, but what about inside? We can do that explosion thing again, Kobe suggests, to cut all the light spells. It worked well at the Maxwood Museum. Despite my plan to remain quiet, I can't help asking, Are you sure you guys aren't criminals? Why on earth would you need to break into a museum? Because the curator of that museum stole a valuable family heirloom from someone, Calla explains to me. The guild couldn't help her because they couldn't prove anything. So, after hearing about us, she asked for our help. We located the heirloom, hid it inside the museum, and stole it back for her. But what if it wasn't actually hers? I ask. What if she'd been lying to you? The family crest engraved on the item was a bit of a giveaway. We assumed the curator was planning to remove it, but if so, he hadn't gotten around to it yet. Is it really necessary to tell this story right now? Elizabeth asks. Calla sighs and looks at Elizabeth. Just explaining that we're not actually criminals. Or, Crystal says, that we're the right kind of criminals. That might be more accurate. So, back to the explosion, Chase says, looking at Kobe. Yes, exploding some night lace should work well. Whoever's hanging out in the control room won't be able to see a thing. It'll make it difficult for us to see as well, Elizabeth reminds everyone. Yes, but it won't be completely dark, Calla says, an edge of frustration to her voice. We'll be fine. If it isn't completely dark for us, then it won't be completely dark on the surveillance orbs the guards are watching. Elizabeth, it'll be fine. You heard what Kobe said. It worked well at Maxwood. It did work well, Kobe adds, nodding. Elizabeth holds her hands up and sits back. Okay, just checking. Calla turns back to the plans. Next thing we need to figure out is how to get through the security gate that separates each level from the next one down. Well, Carter says, the logical thing to do is use that Griffin ability that can unlock anything. You know, the one Gaius transferred into that antique key. Isn't that one of the Griffin abilities we lost when the others went to get Vi and Rin? Chase asks. I clear my throat and lean forward. Nerves flutter in my stomach as I say, Do you know how much easier all of this would be if you just let me go inside the prison? Silence greets my suggestion. Everyone looks at me. I elaborate quickly. If I go into the control room with Kobe, I can tell all the guards on duty that they can't see any of you. Then, I can go to each gate and tell it to open. I can open whatever cells Vi and Rin are locked in. Every step of the way, I can simply say something and it will happen. Another beat of silence passes. Then, out of the question, Calla says. Why? It would be so much easier that way. Does your Griffin ability have enough power for that many commands? Crystal asks. Well, I told the veil to close, and it did, and I assume that would have required a rather large amount of magic. Carter's mouth drops open. Wow, okay, yeah. I think you can handle a bunch of locks and surveillance enchantments. Still out of the question, Calla repeats. Why? Crystal asks. If her magic can do all these things, then why make this rescue operation harder than it has to be? Em is brand new here, Calla reminds everyone. We can't ask her to do something this dangerous. You're not asking me, I remind her. I'm offering. Rin and Vi wouldn't want you to do this. You're... But she cuts herself off before finishing, which makes me wonder if she was about to tell everyone that I'm actually Vi and Rin's presumed-to-be-dead daughter. Would it make a difference to anyone's decision to let me inside the prison if they knew? I don't get the chance to find out, though, because Calla says... Yes, Em's ability can do all these things, which is exactly why we can't risk the guild getting her in their clutches again. But if we don't use her magic, Crystal says, chances are high that we'll fail to rescue our people. We could all end up imprisoned as well. Calla looks at Chase, a question in her gaze. He's quiet for several moments before saying, You can stay with her the whole way. Keep her concealed, and I'll remain close by so I can fight off anyone who happens to see the two of you. Calla's face is full of uncertainty. Chase, I know, he says. But we need to get everyone back, and this is the best way. We'll make sure Em doesn't get caught in the process. Calla looks at me. Her voice is pained as she says, I don't want to lose you again. Carter turns to Crystal and whispers, Is there something else going on here I don't know about? No idea, she whispers in response. I know, I say to Calla. But you won't. I can do this. I have more control now. You know I've been practicing. We'll all come out the other side of this just fine. I guess I sound more confident than I feel, because eventually, Calla gives in and agrees. But as we sit down to decide on the exact words I should say at each point in the operation, I can't help remembering what she said after we very nearly messed up our escape from the shadow world. No plan ever goes the way it's planned. Chapter 6. We wait until late in the evening before leaving the Oasis, so we don't have to hide too long near Noxum before my Griffin ability's magic is ready to be used. Technically, we should be able to go at any time. I'm fairly confident that I can hold on to my Griffin power and release it at will later on. But Chase and Calla decided it would be better to wait. This way, Calla said. You'll have whatever power you've reserved from this morning, plus the additional power you'll receive when your ability replenishes again tonight. We gather in the living room of the mountain, and Chase goes around the group, writing a quick spell onto each person's arm with a stylus. We discussed numerous communication options last night, including tiny devices the guild recently developed, a few of which Gaius somehow got hold of. But this enchantment is apparently the easiest option.
Just don't try any other spell that requires writing on your skin while you've still got this one on, Chase tells me. It'll interfere with the communication.
That shouldn't be a problem, I assure him. I don't know any spells that involve writing on my skin.
We may not even need to use this spell, he adds. But if we have to split up inside Noxum, and you want to talk to the rest of us, just touch the words on your arm to activate the spell, and then speak normally.
Elizabeth rises from the couch and sets her amber tablet aside. The news is everywhere, she says as she holds her arm out to receive her communication spell. The guild can't stop crowing about their success at having sent a whole bunch of Griffin rebels straight to Noxum. Yes, I saw that, Crystal says. And I noticed that those who've always been the most outspoken about the controversial methods the Noxum facility employs are keeping strangely quiet.
Of course. I mean, torture's totally acceptable when you're doing it to Griffin-gifted Fae, right?
I'm about to ask someone to explain the kind of torture methods Noxum employs, but Chase speaks before me.
Look, it's horrible that it's splashed all over the news, but at least we know we're heading to the right place.
Do you think they've jacked up security there? Elizabeth asks.
You know they feel totally threatened by any Griffin-gifted Fae. They probably added another 100 guards because they're so afraid our friends are somehow going to escape.
Surely Noxum is secure enough as it is, Calla says, rolling her sleeves down once her communication spell is done. If the rumors are true, then most of the prisoners are asleep. Besides, Perry would have reported it to me if he'd heard anything about extra security around Noxum. Look, Perry's great, Elizabeth says, but he doesn't know everything. He's part of one small department inside one guild. He has nothing to do with the security at Noxum. Chase raises his voice above the chatter and says, I think we can safely assume the guild hasn't sent an extra 100 guards to Noxum. You know why? Because the guild is facing the one thing no one else in the history of our world has ever faced. The entire human realm suddenly becoming aware of our existence. That's massive. And since Prince Rourke began openly attacking humans, things have gotten even worse. With all of that going on, the guild isn't going to waste extra guardians on a facility that's already highly secure. True, Elizabeth says. You're probably right.
Let's hope so.
Chase pats his jacket and the belt slung around his hips, probably to check that all his various weapons are still in place.
Okay. Everyone ready to break into a prison?
Absolutely, Crystal and Carter say at the same time, before laughing at one another.
Hey, it's nothing we haven't done before, right?
Elizabeth says, pulling her gloves a little tighter.
Should be a piece of cake.
Em?
Chase looks at me.
Yep, all good. What I really want to say is, am I the only one who feels like throwing up?
Probably, since I'm the only one who hasn't done something like this before. I try to push aside my doubt and the nagging reminder that pretty much nothing in my life ever goes right. Instead, I silently repeat, this will all work out.
Hey, Em? I look up and find Calla in the doorway, looking back at me. It seems everyone else has left the room already.
Are you sure you're okay?
Yes. My voice sounds odd, so I clear my throat and try again as I walk toward her. Yes, I'm fine.
Are you having second thoughts about...
No, I'm fine. Don't worry. I know I can do this. It's just speaking, right? It's easy.
She grips my upper arm and gives me an encouraging squeeze.
I'll be with you the whole time. I won't let anything happen to you.
Outside the dome lair, in the cool desert night, the seven of us hold hands and walk into the fairy paths together. If I weren't so nervous, I'd probably want to laugh at how strange we look. Instead, as the darkness closes around us, I focus on trying to keep my heart from leaping right out of my chest. The fairy paths bring us to a wooded area, bathed in pale beams of moonlight. The air is warmer, balmy, like a summer night. Looking up through the trees, I notice that the moon isn't as high as it was by the oasis. Early evening, I think to myself, noting the position of the moon or sun wasn't something I ever did in the non-magic world. But that was back when I had a cell phone to tell me the time, and when I didn't switch time zones so often, or ever, for that matter.
It's this way,
Chase says, leading us through the trees. We don't have to walk far before we reach the edge of the forest. Up ahead, surrounded by the kind of shield layer that shimmers just enough to be seen, is a plain, rectangular, single-story building, the Noxum facility. It doesn't look too bad from the outside, but I don't let the boring exterior fool me. All kinds of horrific torture could be taking place on the 5 additional levels hidden beneath this one.
How long until your magic is ready, Em?
Chase asks. I focus my attention on my magic for a moment. Probably less than 15 minutes. I can sense that it's almost ready. We spread out as we wait, each of us remaining pressed against a tree to blend in with the forest so Calla doesn't have to conceal us yet. True to her word, she sticks right beside me, her back against the same tree I'm peering around. I assume we can't use the fairy paths to get to the other side of that shield layer, I say.
Nope. No access to the fairy paths beyond this forest. At least, that's what Perry said when he was explaining how to get here. We have a complicated series of enchantments we generally use to disable shield magic, including a few spells no one outside the guild is supposed to know, but hopefully your griffin ability can save us the hassle.
Yeah, I think it should work. I lean back against the tree and fan my face with my hand. It's warmer here than I expected, and my nerves are starting to make me sweat.
I could cool you down with magic, Calla says, but it might interfere with the communication spell.
I let my hand flop down against my leg. It's okay. I'll probably cool down if I just stand here calmly and stop fanning myself.
Probably, she says, but I find it impossible to keep still.
My hands end up twisting together. One heel taps repeatedly against the grass.
You're nervous, Calla says, stating the obvious.
I'm fine, I reply. Though we both know, I'm lying.
You're scared this isn't going to work.
Actually, I'm scared of the opposite. I mean, I shake my head. Sorry, that didn't sound right. I'm scared of seeing them again, Violet and Rin. Not because I don't want to, but because I swallow, and my heel tapping begins again. Because what if they don't want me as their daughter? Calla turns her head to look at me.
What?
I mean, what if I'm a huge disappointment to them? They probably spent years building Victoria up in their minds, this perfect daughter they would have had if she'd never died. She'd be just like them, brave and selfless and totally kick-ass. And now I come along and I'm just me. I'm the girl with the totally average human world upbringing. I'm the girl who ran away from everything they offered me without explaining myself. I'm the girl who trusted the Unseelies instead of trusting them. There's no way they're not going to be disappointed by that girl.
Look at me, Calla says. When I do, I find her bright golden eyes staring fiercely back at me. Don't you dare let yourself believe lies like that. I can promise you, Em, that disappointment is the last thing they're feeling. You are their daughter. They will love you no matter what kind of person you are or what you've done. Okay?
I breathe out slowly, letting go of some of my anxiety.
Okay.
I tilt my head back against the tree, shut my eyes, and remain like that until the moment my Griffin ability's magic rushes to the surface. I hold on tightly to it, imagining it as a living thing I'm wrestling into submission. Each time I do it, it gets a little easier. When I'm certain I've got it under control, and it isn't about to escape me in a single flood, I open my eyes.
I'm ready, I tell Calla.
Great. She raises her voice so the others can hear her and says,
I'm picturing us all as invisible now.
All righty, Carter says from the next tree over. It's all on you, Em. No pressure.
I manage a breathy laugh.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
Holy freaking fudge nut. I breathe out slowly through my mouth and try not to throw up. Then I remind myself that I volunteered for this, that somewhere deep inside me, I still want to do this, and I walk forward with the rest of them. We leave the trees behind us and walk at a steady pace toward the facility. On the other side of the shield surrounding the building, rain begins to fall. It seems Chase is keeping his storm confined for now. I'm not sure what will happen once the shield is gone, but hopefully someone here knows how to keep us from getting drenched. When we're a few paces away from the shield, we stop. No one says anything, but I know they're waiting for me. Like turning on a faucet, I let some of my power leak out. My voice is rich and resonant, both far away and deep inside my chest, as I tell the shield around the Noxum facility that it no longer exists. Then I wait. For a moment, I'm convinced it isn't going to work. I'm going to disappoint my team before we've even begun. But then, the shield ripples and vanishes with a faint pop. And the dull roar of the rain reaches us.
Nice,
Kobe says as Elizabeth quickly raises her hand, forming an invisible umbrella over us.
Awesome, Carter adds.
I manage a smile. Thanks. This successful first step gives me a tiny boost in confidence. I can do this. We head forward through the storm. The wind pummels us,
but not a single drop of rain strikes my body. We reach the imposing main gate outside Noxum, and unlocking it proves to be just as easy as removing the shield. Telling the Griffin ability detecting charm that it no longer works goes smoothly as well. Next, I unlock the door into the building itself, and finally, we're inside. Chase quietly shuts the door behind us, and as I face the bright, sterile interior, my next command is for any surveillance bugs in this corridor. I can't see them, but I don't doubt they're here. "Surveillance bugs," I say, imagining tiny enchanted insects. "You can't see us." After a pause, I add in my normal voice, "I hope that worked if I can't actually see them and don't know where to direct my intentions." "Well, let's move quickly," Chase says. "The sooner we get to the control room, the better. This way." He walks ahead of us, and we follow as quietly and quickly as we can along the bare and brightly lit corridors. With no visible hint of magic, this building is the closest I've seen to something that looks like it could belong in the human world. Every few steps, I look around and repeat my command to the surveillance bugs I can't see. "Be careful not to use up all your magic," Kala says. "I know, I'm just trying to keep us out of sight until we reach the control room." "Almost there," Chase says. We turn a corner into the next corridor, where we have only two doors to choose from. We come to a stop outside the first door, and Carter whispers, "Inmate records? In the room next door, right?" Chase nods. "Yes, you could take a look at those. Make sure you find all 10 of our people. Kala and Em, we're going into the control room. Kobe, Crystal, Elizabeth, you're out here to stop anyone from coming into either room." He reaches for the first door. "Wait," Kala whispers. "Sorry, just let me focus. We're opening the door, but I need them to see a door that stays closed. And wherever we're standing, they need to see empty space." She pauses. "Okay, got it." "Em?" Chase asks. I nod, but my heart patters painfully fast as he reaches for the door handle. The door barely makes a sound as he opens it. We step silently into the room. The four guards, two men and two women, seated in the center of the room, watching at least a dozen orbs floating in rows in front of them, don't turn their heads. If they did, they wouldn't see us. Cal is making sure of that with her illusion. My job now is to make sure they won't see us in their orbs as we steal along every corridor from here down to the bottom of this facility. "Don't panic," is the first command I give them. Then, as they all look around at the sound of my voice, I add, "Stay seated. When you look at your orbs again, you won't be able to see any of us, no matter where we are inside the Noxum facility." I follow that command with another one that names us each individually, just in case the first command wasn't explicit enough. Finally, I add, "Forget that someone was in this room speaking to you." The guards' faces take on blank expressions for a moment, then confusion. One man looks at the other. "What?" the second man asks. "Nothing, just looking around." They return to watching the orbs then. Kala raises a finger to her lips, and we quietly back away. The moment the door is closed behind us, giddy acceleration rushes through me. "This is working," I whisper to Kala. "This is actually working." "Well done," she answers. "Just don't get cocky now. We still have a lot to get through." I know. This is just really cool, that's all." Carter slips out of the room next door. "Found them," he says. "They're all on the third floor down." "Good," Elizabeth says. "Not too far to go." "All fine in there?" Carter asks, pointing to the control room door. Chase gives him a thumbs up, then says, "Okay, let's get moving. Cal, you're still projecting that invisibility illusion?"
"Yes, in case we pass other people out here."
"Great." The seven of us slip silently along the corridors with Chase leading the way. We're nearing the gate that separates this level from the next one down when we begin passing rooms with glass windows that allow us to look in. Kala and I pause briefly beside an occupied room to take a better look. A narrow bed stands in the center of the room. Its occupant, dressed in white overalls, is asleep, A funnel hangs from the ceiling, and from its open end, faint sparkling wisps of something drift down over the prisoner's head. "That's so weird," I murmur. "What's coming out of the funnel?" Calla shakes her head. "I don't know. I thought you said people are tortured in this prison." "They are." She pauses before adding, "From what I've heard, the torture takes place inside their minds." A chill creeps over me. My thoughts can't help turning to the kinds of nightmares this seemingly peaceful prisoner might be enduring right now.
"Calla, Emerson, come on," Elizabeth says. "We don't have time to waste staring at sleeping prisoners."
We hurry after the rest of our team. "Vian Rin and the others must be asleep, too," I say. "Do you think we'll be able to wake them?"
"If we can't," Elizabeth says, "we're going to have to direct 10 sleeping bodies through the air all the way out of this facility. That's going to take some coordination."
"Yeah," Chase says grimly. "Not an ideal situation, but we can make it work. Calla needs to focus on her ability, and so does M. That leaves 5 of us to direct 10 bodies. We should easily be able to manage 2 each."
Carter nods.
"Cool. I like it when you use the word easy."
"Or," I say to them, "I can tell our people to wake up and hope it works."
"Even better," Carter says.
We continue on, soon reaching the gate that blocks our access to the stairway leading down. But all I have to do is tell the gate to unlock itself, and it does. With each command I'm able to successfully give, my confidence rises. The next 2 gates open easily, and by the time we get to the correct level, I'm starting to think we might actually pull this off without anything going wrong. But I tell myself not to get too excited yet. We still need to get everyone out of here, and if for some reason I can't wake them, we'll have to levitate them. And directing 10 sleeping bodies through the air doesn't sound like it's going to be as easy as everyone believes it will be.
"Okay, this is it," Chase says, stopping as we turn into a long passageway lined with doors. Instead of being closed, each one is slightly ajar.
"Weird," Calla says. "But I guess the doors don't need to be locked when the prisoners on the other side of them are unconscious."
"Were any of the rooms we passed on previous levels also open?" Crystal asks.
"I can't remember now."
"Yes, I think some of them were," Elizabeth answers.
"So, we're hoping this is normal?" I ask. At that moment, something crawls up the top of my arm. In fright, I inhale sharply and smack at my shoulder. But the crawling insect has morphed into a bird and narrowly misses my hand as it flits away.
"Holy crap," I breathe. "Bandit, you have got to stop following me everywhere."
"You brought your shapeshifter pet with?"
Elizabeth asks, arching one unimpressed eyebrow.
"Of course not," I hiss. "He likes to shift into tiny forms and hide in my pockets without my knowledge."
Bandit lands on my shoulder and becomes a lizard. I grab hold of him and push him into my jacket pocket. Then I bend my head forward and whisper, "Please stay there."
"Ready, Em?" Chase asks. "Are you going to try to wake them?"
"Yes."
He looks behind us, then ahead once more. "I'll stay here at the end of the passage, in case I need to keep anyone away while the rest of you are freeing our people. Calla and Em, check the first room."
He looks at the other 4.
"You can move on to the next rooms."
As I walk toward the first door, my heart begins to race again. Who will I find in this room? Will it be Violet or Rin? Then, as I reach out and push the door open, a sense of déjà vu overwhelms me. I remember being at Tranquil Hills Psychiatric Hospital several weeks ago, pushing open a door to see Danny. I remember the alarm that suddenly screamed through the quiet. I cross the threshold into this room, and no alarm goes off.
Calla follows quickly. I can't see the occupant of this bed because a thin gray blanket covers him or her completely, which seems strange.
Calla must be thinking the same thing because she's now frowning at the bed. She edges closer, slowly takes hold of a section of the blanket, and yanks it back. The bed is empty. Whatever formed the shape of a person beneath the blanket is gone.
"Crap!" Calla gasps as something darts out of the wall and catches hold of her arm.
I jump backward as another something, a metal arm, extends in my direction. Behind us, the door bangs shut. She shouts, "Don't go into the..." But her words are abruptly cut off as something like an electric current flashes across the room, burning into us. For a moment, intense pain paralyzes me. Then, everything goes dark. Chapter 7. I have no idea how much time has passed when I peel my eyelids apart and blink into the darkness. I give myself a few moments to recall what happened before I fell asleep. No, before I passed out. Before magic knocked me unconscious. Before I became a prisoner. I try to sit up, and that's when I realize my arms are bound behind my back, and that something, dark fabric of some sort, covers my face. I start to panic then. It's too close, way too close, right up against my mouth, suffocating me. The fabric is tugged upward, revealing an unfamiliar bearded man standing in front of me. He steps back, dropping the blue-black material, a pillowcase, judging by its shape, onto the floor. A hurried glance around me, as I suck in a few deep breaths, reveals a nondescript room. Fairly dark, no windows, several plain chairs around an equally plain table, all pushed to the one side of the room. And five or six guardians. Beside me, Kala jumps to her feet faster than should be possible for someone whose hands are tied behind her back. "My magic may be blocked," she says, "but that won't stop me from fighting my way past all six of you." Blocked magic? My eyes dart across Kala's body until they fall on the metal band clamped tightly around her right wrist. Is that what was flashed out of the wall earlier? I don't know if my griffin ability can remove it, but I'm sure I can help with the ropes. As Kala takes a few menacing steps toward the guardians, I tell both her ropes and mine to break apart. "Thanks," she says as her bonds drop to the floor. As she raises her fists, she adds, "Maybe you could try that with the..."
"Hey, there's no need for violence," the bearded man says.
He holds one hand up as he takes a step back.
"We're trying to help you."
Kala lets out a bitter laugh. "Is that so? Forgive me. I must be imagining the guardian markings I can see on every single one of you. M?" Without looking away from the guardians, she shakes her right hand in my direction. "That metal band is no longer attached to your wrist," I say quickly, letting some of my power flood into my voice. Everyone stares as the metal band expands and slips off Kala's hand. One or two guardians even flinch as it strikes the ground. After another moment's pause, the bearded man speaks again.
"Yes, we're guardians. That doesn't mean we agree with the guild's policies regarding Griffin Gifted. We just want to set you free, that's all."
"Uh-huh," Kala says. "That's why there are six of you, all looking like you're ready to attack the moment I move."
"We're ready to defend ourselves," a red-headed woman says. "Because we figured you wouldn't trust us. And there's a lot more than six of us, by the way."
"That sounds like a threat, not help."
The bearded man frowns at the redhead before turning back to us.
"She didn't mean that as a threat. She means there are plenty more guardians who don't think it's right the way the guild handles griffin abilities. You don't really believe every single guardian is against you, do you?"
"Kind of seems like it to me," I say.
"Look, I don't know exactly who you both are or what the guild, whichever one you've had the misfortune of coming into contact with, has done to you," he says. "But I promise we're not all like that. Now, there's a door back there." He gestures with his thumb over his shoulder. "And you're welcome to leave through it. But we first need to tell you a few things so you don't get yourselves into more trouble."
Callis still standing with her fists up, ready to fight. If I had the first clue what I was doing in the fighting department, I would have assumed the same stance by now.
"A whole bunch of guardians ready to help us?" she says. "Sounds too good to be true. And that door you just pointed out sounds like a convenient trap."
"Why would we need to trap you?" the woman asks, throwing both hands up in exasperation.
"You were already trapped inside a cell back at Nuxum. Every room in that corridor was a trap for you and the rest of your rebel friends. We could have left you there if we weren't on your side."
Or if we'd known about the trap sooner, we could have done something about it. Instead, Harried risked everything to get you both out. And he opened the staff elevator so your friends could get back up to ground level and escape. They would have been trapped otherwise when every level went into complete lockdown.
There was no elevator, Calla says immediately.
It was hidden, of course. The door can't be accessed by anyone but a Noxum guard.
I watch Calla's gaze dart toward the door before returning to the bearded man, Harried.
If this isn't some kind of trap, she says, then your fellow guards would have stopped you before you got out of Noxum with us. You would have had to get us all the way back up to the entrance. No way could you have done that undetected.
Those of us who work there have other ways of getting in and out of the facility. We know where the ferry paths can be opened, but yes, someone will have seen me by now in one of the surveillance orbs.
He takes a deep breath.
I guess I'll be going into hiding now, like you guys. Either that or turn myself in.
We'll make sure you and your family are well hidden, someone else says.
I'm already shaking my head, still highly suspicious of these people.
So you gave up your job, your safety, your everything, just to get the two of us out of Noxum?
Harried looks around at his fellow guardians. Then he laughs.
It sounds the tiniest bit hysterical.
Yeah, it seems I did.
He scratches his ear.
It was a spur-of-the-moment decision. Hopefully my wife doesn't kill me. But we've been talking about taking action for a long time, so it's not as though I've never considered doing something like this before.
Two or three guardians behind him nod.
One says,
Nah, Lucilla will understand.
Harried smiles, then adds,
We still don't know if we have the numbers to make a stand against the Guild's current leadership. We were trying to figure out if it might be possible to free the other rebels without revealing ourselves, but we hadn't made a concrete plan yet before the head counselor herself arrived at Noxum earlier today and took the other rebels away. I've been working there for years, and nothing like that's happened before. She just showed up. No prior notification whatsoever, spoke to the warden, and then took the rebels. And after that, all the news reports kept saying the rebels were still at Noxum. By the time I figured out the counselor was setting a trap for you, it was too late to do anything about it. And then the two of you appeared in that cell after the spark stunned you, and at that point it seemed like rescuing you was the only thing I could do, seeing as how we failed to get the other rebels out.
Calla doesn't move.
You're very convincing, she says. I wish I could believe you.
The redhead turns away from us.
Just stun them and dump them out in the forest somewhere. We've done what we can for them. They're on their own now anyway, whether they trust us or not.
Magic ignites around Kala's fingertips.
Get ready to... Whoa, hey!
Harried raises his hands again.
Nobody's stunning anyone. Let's all just step back and let the two ladies leave the room.
So you can stun us while our backs are turned? I ask.
Harried shows us his empty palms. Look, no magic.
And yet, Calla says, I still don't believe you.
The redhead groans.
Is this what Perry meant when he spoke about the major challenges involved in helping the Griffin Gifted?
Harried sighs. Calla tilts her head ever so slightly.
Wait, who did you just mention?
A small frown creases Harried's brow.
Perry, you know him?
This could also be a trick, I want to say to her. Maybe they suspect Perry. They want us to confirm his involvement with the Griffin rebels.
Instead of giving him away, Calla asks, Perry who?
I don't know,
Harried answers.
He only used his first name. He's the one who wrote the original letter that's been circulating in secret, passed along by those of us who don't agree with the Guild's policies. Talks all about the things so many of us have been thinking, but have been too afraid to put into action. Forming a united front, going public with our beliefs and concerns, challenging the Guild's policies and calling for new leadership. But it all depends on how many are willing to take the risk and stand up for what we know is right. This guy, Perry, has been gathering names, well, numbers really, since none of us have added our full names to the letter. He just wants to know if we have enough people to make a difference.
The expression on Calla's face tells me she knows nothing about this letter. But a recent memory nudges the edge of my mind. A memory of Perry saying something about actively searching for other guardians who disagree with the guild. It was a comment he made in passing, probably sandwiched in between the news about which prison Vi and Rin landed up in, and the memo he received about 8 more Griffin rebels being captured.
Sorry, Calla says to Harried. I don't think I know this Perry you're talking about.
Which is what I was hoping she would say. If these guardians do have a letter from Perry, it doesn't prove they're on our side. They could very easily have confiscated the letter from someone, or they could be lying about it.
Well, hopefully you will one day, Harried says. Now, if you'd like to leave, wait, someone else says. You need to warn them about the tracking, remember? And your suspicions about where they took the other guy. Blackallow?
Dash, I whisper silently.
I'm not listening to any more of your lies, Calla says, and I know she's right, even though I long to hear more about Dash. She raises both hands, magic crackling dangerously around her fingers. I swallow, open my mouth, get ready to use my griffin ability.
Hey, wait!
Harried says. The guild's tracking you now. I pause, with my mouth open, wondering if perhaps we should listen to him for just a little bit longer on the off chance that he's telling the truth.
You can't go back to wherever you've been hiding, he continues. They'll find you there. They'll find you anywhere.
Calla pauses with her hands still raised and ready to attack. Em, she says without looking back at me, I hope you're ready to say something in case things are about to turn south. Irritated mutters reach my ears as I answer, I am.
Then tell me, Harried, Calla continues, why we should be so worried about this tracking spell when no one has ever been able to track us before.
It's the newest kind of enchantment, Harried explains hastily. I thought it was still in the experimentation phase, but Head Counselor ordered it to be put in the funnels in all the Griffin Rebels' cells when she arrived. You breathed it in as soon as you went in that room. It's slower than some other tracking or summoning spells, but it's far more accurate than anything else we've ever used. But it only works as long as you remain in one place. As soon as you travel any considerable distance, they have to restart their location spell.
Let's say you're telling the truth, Calla says. How long do we have until we're found?
The longest it's taken the guild to locate someone is 23.5 hours.
And the quickest?
16 hours.
She hesitates, then nods. And how long until it wears off?
The fastest they've seen is 3 weeks. In some cases, it's lasted up to 2 months.
Right. And what information do you have about Dash Blackallow?
I overheard part of a conversation in which both Dashiell, Blackallow, and Reinhold were mentioned. The two could be unrelated, but if not, that could be where they're holding him.
Reinhold?
An off-site research station. I've heard the name only a few times over the past few years. I don't even know where it is.
I see. Em, I think it's time for every guardian in the room will become motionless for the next 10 minutes. My words reverberate around the room. The guardians have only a second to direct their fearful glances my way before they become frozen to the spot. I launch myself toward the door after Calla, and together we run.
Chapter 8. No guardian army waits on the other side of the door to attack us. A tunnel with rough rock walls extends left and right. Calla picks left.
Only 10 minutes? She comments as we race along the tunnel. How generous of you.
Yeah, well, I figured there's a possibility they were actually telling the truth. No need to keep them frozen for longer than necessary.
We come to a halt, and I add, are we trying the fairy paths? Hopefully they're accessible from here.
Wherever here is.
Yes.
Calla's stylus is already in her hand. She scribbles quickly against the wall, and I hold my breath for a moment before a dark doorway materializes. As we rush into the fairy paths, she says,
I wanted to believe them. I really did. I just couldn't take the chance.
I know, I answer as the darkness closes around us. Moments later, we rush into a forested area, faintly illuminated by a moon far above us. Not the same forest as the one outside Noxum, I realize. It feels colder and more overgrown. Where are we? I ask. Random part of Creepy Hollow. I tip my head back and take in the spindly branches scraping lazily at the night sky. It definitely seems creepy. Yes, this part is. She pushes her sleeve up and looks at her arm. Communication spell's gone, she mutters, then reaches into a pocket and removes a small mirror. That woman said something about Harried opening an elevator so the rest of the team could get out. Let's hope that wasn't a lie. She draws a quick pattern across the mirror's surface with her finger before holding the mirror up in front of the two of us. For several endless seconds, all I see is the reflection of our pale faces. Then the glass surface ripples, and suddenly we're looking at Chase instead. Did you get out? Calla asks immediately. Calla, where are you? We're fine. Creepy Hollow. Did you get out of Noxum? Yes, we're hiding nearby to figure out how to get back in to retrieve you guys. But I'm guessing that's no longer necessary?
No.
Calla briefly explains what happened, while I look around in all directions to make sure we're not about to be attacked by some ferocious magical beast.
You were probably right not to trust them, Chase says when Calla's finished speaking, though I sure hope they were telling the truth about being on our side.
I know. It would be amazing if a whole bunch of guardians finally stood up for us. She switches the mirror from one hand to the other. Chase, can we meet at Blue 2? Oh, and please bring supplies. Weapons, potions, kit, all of that. I'll explain when you get here.
Okay. I'll be there as soon as I can. 10 minutes, tops.
Calla taps the mirror to end the call.
Blue 2?
I ask. Is that code for something? Yes. She looks around, then quickly opens another doorway to the fairy paths. The ground we step onto on the other side is hard, covered in frost, and illuminated by starlight. I see no trees, no life, only a vast, still lake stretching out before us, and a snow-capped mountain beyond it. An icy breeze lifts my hair, raising a shiver across the back of my neck. Bandit, still in the form of a lizard, climbs out of my pocket, scurries down my leg, and begins exploring. Before we decide on anything else, Calla says, we need to talk about the tracking spell they mentioned. I pull my jacket tighter around my body as I face her. You think it's real? It could be. And if it is, we can't risk going back to the Oasis. We can't have guardians pouring in there if it turns out this spell is as accurate as they say it is. 16 hours, that's the fastest they've found someone. Yes, which means we need to keep moving every 15 hours to be safe. They also said this spell could last for 2 months. Yes. I breathe out a heavy sigh. So we have to keep moving every 15 hours for 2 months? We'll find a way to get rid of it before then, like your griffin ability, for example. Perhaps you can tell the enchantment to leave us. A brief, humorless laugh escapes me. Knowing my luck, it'll be one of those special witchy spells that's immune to griffin abilities. She frowns. Special witchy spells? I tell her what Zed said about witches being aware of griffin abilities long before anyone else, so they crafted a few spells that would be resistant to any kind of griffin magic. It makes sense, I add, that the guild would use magic that can't be tampered with by griffin abilities if griffin-gifted fae are the ones they're trying to track down, even if it means they have to consult with witches. Calla rolls her eyes. Yeah, at this point, I wouldn't put it past certain guild council members to work with witches if it served their purposes. Her gaze shifts past me. It's hard to imagine I was once so desperate to be part of that world. Well, I say quietly, from what Perry says, and if we can believe the people who freed us from Noxum, not all guardians are like that. Hopefully plenty of them exist who wish the guild was the same kind of place you wanted to join all those years ago. She smiles as her eyes refocus on me. That's probably the most optimistic thing I've ever heard you say. Her words bring to mind all the things I'm not feeling optimistic about. Like, how are we ever going to find Violet and Rin now that the head counselor's taken them from Noxum? One problem at a time, I remind myself. Okay, let's continue with the optimistic streak then. I feel for my griffin power. It's tough to tell how much is left, but hopefully it's enough to get rid of whatever magic we breathed in while we were inside that Noxum cell. What exactly shall I say to get rid of the tracking enhancement? Kala thinks for a moment, then gives me a few suggestions. Once we've decided on the best words, I let go of my hold on my griffin power and speak. The guild's tracking enchantment will leave our bodies now. I touch Kala's arm. Your body contains no magic that will allow anyone to track you or find you. My body contains no magic that will allow anyone to track me or find me. I pause, sensing the rush of power as it leaves my body. I don't try to hang onto any of it, just in case every last bit of it is needed for my command. I really hope that worked, I say after a few moments. We'll find out tomorrow. And if it didn't work, then we'll just keep moving around. It won't be that bad, I promise. I guess. I look around for Bandit, just to make sure he hasn't wandered too far, and find him in cat form, scratching at the frozen ground. I'm starting to wish I hadn't removed that small metal thing Rourke stuck behind my ear, I say. It kept Violet from finding me while I was with the Unseelies, so hopefully it would have kept the guild from finding me too, although we'd still have to worry about them finding you. Oh. I look up as something occurs to me. Crap. What if the guild forces Vi to use her ability to find us? Then it won't matter if this tracking spell is still on us or not. Don't worry about that, Kala says with a shake of her head. They don't know what she can do. They know she's griffin-gifted, but that's it. Won't they try to find out, though? Probably, but they won't be able to. Like the location of the oasis, there's certain information we've made sure is wrapped up in our protective enchantment, and we've all been trained in resisting compulsion potions and truth potions. The guild will be lucky if they can get anything useful out of our people. I look at Bandit again, and think of all the movies I've seen that include interrogation scenes. I think of how the interrogators often threaten the life of someone else, a family member, friend, partner, in order to make a person talk. My mind can't help taking the next step and imagining Violet being tortured in order to make Rin talk, or vice versa. The chill in the air seems to sink through my clothing and into my bones. I rub my hands up and down my arms, but the action does little to warm me. I don't think I can be as hopeful as you, I quietly tell Kala. I think if the guild wants information, they'll get it in whatever way they can. Hey, what happened to that optimism from a few moments ago? She asks. This will all work out. We'll get our happy ending. I shake my head and let my hands fall to my sides. You don't know that, though. You guys think you're all, like, superheroes or something, but it isn't possible for you to save the day every single time. Maybe this time there is no happy ending. Maybe this will never work out and we'll never be a family. Kala's expression becomes as fierce as when I told her Vi and Rin would be disappointed to have me as a daughter. That is not an option. We will get them back. Somehow, no matter how many wrong steps we take along the way, we will rescue Vi and Rin and everyone else. She breathes out a shaky breath as she looks away. After you died, after we thought you died, it almost tore our family apart. It was... I can't explain to you how horrible it was. And now, when we've been given the chance to be a whole family again, something else is threatening to divide us again. She swallows. Most people don't get a chance to fix their mistakes. They have to deal with the consequences and move on. So that's what we did all those years ago. But for whatever reason, I've now been given that chance, and I refuse to mess it up. I let her words sink in before asking, "What mistake?" She pulls her head back slightly. "Zed didn't tell you? He didn't mention that he was a prisoner in the guild and I allowed him to escape when he should have remained locked up? That if I hadn't let him go free, he never would have been able to conspire with witches and place a changeling spell upon you?" I shake my head. No, he didn't say anything about that. So, you're saying setting him free was your mistake? And because of that, you blame yourself for what he ended up doing to me?
I'm saying I recognize the part I played. For a long time, I tried to make up for what I'd done until I realized it was impossible. I could either hate myself forever or forgive myself and move on. So moving on is what I did. Now, though, I have a real chance to make things right. That's why I did everything in my power to get you back from the Unseelies, and that's why I will do whatever it takes to get Vi and Rin back. I swallow against the emotion tightening my throat.
Thank you.
And also, I don't hold you responsible for the mess Zed made of our lives. That's all on him.
She gives me a small smile.
That means more to me than you can imagine. A faint ripple in the air nearby catches my attention. A second later, a doorway opens, and Chase steps through. Before either of us can say a word, he pulls us both into a tight embrace. I'm not the hugging type when it comes to people I don't know well, but I barely have time to be startled before he steps back.
What else happened? He asks immediately. Why can't you return to the Oasis?
The Guild is apparently tracking us now, Calla says. It was something we breathed in while we were in that empty room. Did any of our team go into the other rooms?
No, they didn't get a chance before your door slammed shut.
Good. Calla explains to Chase how we're going to have to keep moving, possibly for the next 2 months.
Well, I say when she's finished, we could return to the Oasis for a few hours in between each move, but then I shake my head.
No, I guess that's too much of a risk.
Definitely too much of a risk, Chase says. What if the Guild's tracking techniques improve?
Look, who knows if this whole tracking spell thing is even true, Calla says. But until we know for sure, we're not going back to the Oasis.
Em's told the spell to vanish from our bodies, but we won't know until tomorrow if her magic was successful.
Why wouldn't it be? Chase asks. Her ability seems pretty amazing so far.
Thanks, I say. But Zed told me certain witch spells are immune to griffin abilities. If the Guild knows about that kind of magic, then I'm sure they'd try to take advantage of it.
Chase sighs.
Wonderful. Well, in case you need it, here's your bag.
He hands Calla a leather backpack. Weapons, a full potions kit, some money. You'll need to buy food.
And a change of clothes, perhaps.
She gives me a watered-down smile.
This is going to be fun, right?
I lift my shoulders against the cold and start shifting from foot to foot while eyeing the backpack with skepticism.
Small weapons only, I assume?
Some of them, Chase says, but most of them are small because I shrank them. You'll have to make them bigger before you can use them.
Oh, I didn't know that was possible. I shake my head at myself for being so silly.
But of course, it's possible. Everything's possible in this world, right?
Almost.
He frowns as I continue to shuffle from foot to foot, then waves his hand briefly above my head.
Sorry, I didn't realize you don't know how to warm yourself.
Oh, thanks, I say as the sensation of warmth slowly envelops me.
Calla pulls the backpack onto her shoulders.
Ugh, I just can't believe they tricked us like that, she groans.
For the second time! First they used Rin and Vi as bait to draw some of us there, and then tonight the rest of us walked into the exact same trap.
We were far better prepared tonight, Chase reminds her. We could have pulled it off if our people had actually been there.
Which leads us to the next problem, I say. Where are they now?
I'm going to find out, Chase assures me. I'd like to travel around with the two of you, make sure you're both safe, but...
No, you need to find our family, Calla says. Oh, and see if you can find out anything about a place called Reinhold. It's a research station, apparently, and there's a chance Dash might be there if this Reinhold place exists.
That is.
Reinhold, okay.
What will the two of you do? Vacation in a different spot every day?
I was thinking more along the lines of following Rourke's mess around and cleaning it up.
Discreetly, of course.
Chase bends to scratch Bandit behind his cat ears as the shapeshifter comes close enough to sniff his shoes.
Good idea. Stay in touch with Perry. He'll know about things before they become public. And the seers will see some things before they happen. If the Guild discards any of those visions, you can take care of them.
Calla nods. So it's pretty much business as usual then, except I'll be doing it with M. She looks at me. You don't have to be involved, or you can assist from a distance. We can assess each situation.